Well, some time ago, we were in a series called Seek First the Kingdom of God, and last time we spoke on this was November. And then there was a few things I just felt, no, we needed to touch on some other things. We got into Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then, I mean, we don't just throw things out to throw them out. I mean, just to say, well, I'll preach on this today. And when we came into the new year, we started talking about whatever things are true, and I just stayed on that. Didn't seem fitting just to interrupt it. But I've told you I wanted to get back this because there's a few more things we need to touch base on with this. We didn't finish up this series. And so I don't know if all of you were in some of that, so I'm going to recap a little bit. But we had a number of messages on the website. And like I said, the last one is in November, some in October. And then we actually spent quite a bit of time on it throughout a number of months. But we're going to pick up there, and I believe we'll finish this, not today, but as the Lord leads us. But there's a few more things we need to touch base on this, in this subject. Matthew 6:24, let's go there and take the time to turn there. Matthew 6:24. This is our text, and there's just a portion of it. Parts we're really emphasizing on your scripture sheet, but I'm just going to go ahead and read 6:24, verse 24 through verse 34. Everybody there? Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" That means, you know, what can you add anything to your body, your presence, by worrying? The answer is no. You can't do anything about it. Verse 28, "So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the verses we really emphasize. Verse 24, let's look at your sheet and read them in the New Living Translation. It says there, No one can serve two masters, for either or you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other, or lightly esteem the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Doesn't say they're just... They think the unbelievers think about them once in a while. It says they dominate the thoughts. And you can see this clearly in the world. A lot of things are the here and now. People without God. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. But verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Do you believe God knows what we need?
Yes.
He absolutely does. The Lord knows exactly what you and I need now, because He knows where you've been, and He knows where you ought to go. And He knows where you're going. And He knows where you ought to go. He knows where He knows His perfect plan for your life. But it's up to you and I to follow that plan. It's not an automatic. His will for your life, both specifically, I'm talking about who you're going to marry. I'm talking about what job you should take. I'm talking about where you ought to live. Specifically for you and your family, His will for your life does not happen automatically. We need to cooperate with Him and His general will for your life. I'm talking the fact that you walk in divine health, the fact that you walk in prosperity, the fact that you have good relationships. That does not happen automatically. We have to cooperate with Him. If it happened automatically, then at number one, everybody would be saved and we'd go on into the millennium right now. Because that's God's, is it not God's perfect will for our lives? The Bible says He wants no one to perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him might not perish but have everlasting life. That's His will. But we know every day people are dying and going to hell. There is a hell. There is a reality. There is a devil. Some denominations act like there is no devil. It's all God. So whatever happens is God's will. That's ignorance. Not trying to be mean. It's ignorant. I just don't understand why this person died. But I'll submit to God's will. That's a lie. And there are whole areas of Christianity that won't resist the work of the devil whatsoever because they believe it's God. And the real challenge is they are trying to reconcile themselves to the will of God they believe and trying to let go of loved ones and trying to let sickness happen when their being is recoiling at that. Because what you as a parent, or as you having somebody in your family, you know, siblings, you may beat up on your sibling, but if somebody else tries to do it, whoa. Right? Wait a minute. I can mess with my brother or sister, but you're a different story. Back off, right? There's something in us. We don't want to see harm come to our child. You know, you don't. If something were happening to your child, how many of your parents would say, I'd much rather it happened to me than my kid? You take it. You say, you want to dish it on me, but don't mess with my child. You know, that's God. That's put into us by the Lord. And so then on the other hand, doctrines will try to tell us that it's God who is taking your baby or making your baby suffer or taking your mother or father. That was just God's will. Everything in a person's being rejects that. And they're trying to reconcile their mind and their self to say, God, I'm submitting to you. It's a lie. They're not resisting the work of the enemy because there is a devil and he is getting out scot-free because it's being attributed to God. Mm-hmm. So you have whole segments of Christianity that absolutely welcome the work of the enemy in their lives. I'm not saying they do it knowingly. They're deceived. They're ignorant of what God's word. They don't know they're supposed to resist. They've been taught that anything that happens is God's sovereign will. And that's just not true. All the wars and all the things that men, by yielding to the enemy and yielding to evil. So Hitler was the will of God. Is that what? If you believe that everything is God's sovereign will, then God ordained Hitler. That's an abomination. Well, that's different. How is that different? There's a plague going through something. Well, that's just the will of God. No, it's not. It's the work of the devil and his influence in the world. And this is reality. And so much of this has been glossed and pushed the more we've gone into the modern world. That's superstition. That doesn't exist. And yet, then the enemy prospers. But I'm saying the things that God has for us, His specific and general will for our lives, they don't just happen. Like we started to say, otherwise, everybody on the face of the earth would be saved. Because that's God's will. And at that point, we're gone, so it doesn't really matter. You get a new body anyway. But let's just sidestep that. And let's say, not only that, everybody on the face of the earth would walk in divine health. Because that's His will. And everybody would have completely harmonious relationships with those around him, because that's His will. And everybody would abound with blessings, because that's His will. But we can't leave up to God what He left up to us. Did you hear me? God's will and God's help is for us to be perfectly sound and healthy, have an abundance of things to meet every need, have completely right relationship with Him. That's His will. That's what Jesus died for. But men, we have to receive it on our end. And we have to do things in accordance with what He told us to do in order to line up with being on the receiving end. A lot of that has to do with just believing what He said. That's called faith. Faith is not a work. Faith is just believing and acting. But there is a truth. If you reject what He said, He doesn't force it on you anyway. He doesn't make anybody get saved. And there is nothing more important than that. Nothing. Anything you think that's more important, you won't care about it in 100 years. Or 150, however long. You know, you're going to, when you're gone, anything on this earth that was just natural things, not people, you're not going to care about unless it was used in the kingdom of God. So none of these other things are more important than Him. And we have to submit our will, and we're all at different levels. We're all at different places. Thank God for His mercy and His grace where we live right now, that He is bringing each of us up and teaching each of us. Do you realize that everybody in here has a unique path, that we're all growing somewhere in the realm of knowledge of God and stepping different places in His will for our lives? And it's not like we have three categories. You know the way in, they tried to abolish us all together, but you know, in categories generally there was, like let's say in math, there was the people that were moving fast in math, and you had kind of average, and you had people that were taking a little longer. Right? Well, there's not even three in here. There's however many people there are in here. God has a unique development plan for all of us. Aren't you thankful? So that means He's not just at the level of a teacher knowing you to a degree. He knows everything about you and I. Everything. And not only that, He knows everything about your mommy, your daddy, your great-granddad, your great-grandma, your great-great-great-great-great-grand. He knows everything about how you got to be where you are. He didn't have to go look up, you know, in some ancestry website. He knows now. He was there. He knew them when they were at the same stage of life as you. Centuries ago. He knows how everything got into your family. Ideas. Things maybe that got off. He knows where they got introduced. He can tell you the day and the time when somebody started to believe something that was wrong. And he knows how they got passed down to you. And he knows what you're dealing with to undo some of the things that you were taught. And he also knows that's a process. And anybody that knows anything about God will tell you it's a process. You just say, well, just change everything now. Well, good. You know, if somebody tells you that, say, well, why don't you do the same thing? Well, it's different. No, it's not different. It's only different because maybe they're looking at you and they already are past or dealing with certain things that you've dealt with, so they think you should just change. But what about the things they've been dealing with for 10 years? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't move on with God. We absolutely should. But the fact is, all of us in here could be further than we are. Amen? Anybody going to say, no, I've been exactly perfect. I am the epitome of excellence, and there's no way anybody given my circumstance could be any further. That means you've never said anything you shouldn't have said. You've never done anything you shouldn't have done. If you did even one thing like that, you're not where you should be. Right? So we're all standing here, sitting here, and we're in different places before God Almighty. But He's given us His Word, thank God. Because you can read any number of books, you can hear any number of people speak, but His Word does not change. And we always bring it back to what does His Word say. Because men can misinterpret this. Men can try to say things that this doesn't say. We could misunderstand. We could be really believing that we know the Word when in fact we're just adhering to doctrines of men. That's why we turn to these Scriptures. That's why we look at the Scriptures. Because there's sometimes things that you heard growing up or earlier in your life. Somebody told you what a Scripture meant. And in your mind, every time if you hear it, you translate it in your head. That means this. And then if you look at the Word, the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to come in and say, you see what this is really saying? And the blinders can come off. That's why we look at the Word. The Word is to be reverenced. The Word is holy. I'm not saying you go into a weird mode about this particular book. You can get another one of these. Thank God. It is so easy to get another one. It's not the book per se, but you ought to honor the book as well. You don't throw it around. Not to be religious about it, but this Word is what will change people's lives. This Word is what changes our lives. And God has anointed His Word. And the Spirit of God quickens His Word because He is the Word. So as we look at this verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. The verse before that says, your Father already knows all of your needs. He already knows exactly what we need. He knows, like we said, how we got to where we are. He knows what you and I need today to walk at a higher level. He knows exactly what we need to move forward to that next place. And when we talk about seeking His kingdom first, that means above all else, that we put God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, the New Living Translation says, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. That means there is nothing above Him. And we read in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now we're recapping some, just getting rehooked with this. But that's the primary thing we're focusing on in this series. You could put any number of things in there. Because he talks about clothes and some of these things that people buy. I mean, some people, you could put anything in there. Any number of activities. And you could offend probably every person in here by listing something. People think you're attacking certain things. So I'm not going to say any, because I don't have anything in mind. But you could put, God is not as important as such and such in some individuals' lives. And God gave us life and to enjoy it, but it's nothing in itself is to be above Him. We're to worship Him in all things and enjoy other things as part of our life in honoring Him. But in this day and age, there are so many distractions. I mean, just, it is ridiculous. I mean, think of what it was like 200 years ago versus now. I wasn't there. You can read about it. None of us were there. But it just, the sheer number of distractions just weren't there. You may never meet anybody that's more than 10 miles out of your town, let alone like 200. That's a long trip. You don't just jump on a plane and enter another continent in a few hours like you can now. Impossible. Impossible with the technology they had. That's just, when you visit, when I went to Europe a few weeks ago, I was just talking to Shelley. I mean, this is different. In this day and age, I can see all this stuff, pictures of it, and the internet readily. I can see videos of what's going on now. It's not like when you visit a place, you probably never see that place again. And if you get something from that place, there's no easy way to get it. It's just a different world. I mean, we were FaceTiming the whole time. So I could talk to her and see her picture and the kids while I'm, 3,000 miles away. That's different. The distractions just weren't there. Now, that's no excuse. But it's reality. It's what you and I live in. But just like we were talking about in the offering with Daniel and Joseph, this is where we live, and God's Word still works where we are now. It still is the same. And people try to change the Word because society has changed. Did you hear me? They try to tailor the Word and say, well, that's not quite the same anymore because society is like this. That's not true. Now, we may dress a little different. Thank God for some technology. It makes things convenient. But it's not supposed to change the fundamentals. And it's not supposed to change, especially something like this, that we give now because there are distractions, because, life is just so busy. It's so busy. There's just so much going on. We can't possibly give the time like people. They didn't have anything going on before. That's not true either. People used to work a lot just to get food on the table that you can go down the supermarket and you're done. You can walk out with a ready-made meal. Any number of places. We're busy in a really disjointed way, but it's don't buy this thing of, well, we're just busier. Well, yeah, you're busier because you want to be busier. There's a lot of stuff you're doing, whereas you're just working just to keep up with life. You don't go out there and attend to your crops. You're not going to eat. You don't go kill something. It's not going to just jump on your table. It's different. We're busy because we want to be busy. And the Word is the same. Now, this is not to condemn any of us. This is what the Word says. And in our lives, there is a lot of Christianity that's, I'm not saying intentionally, but they are taking what the Word says and trying to tailor it because society is such and such, then the Word, we should do such and such with it because people don't understand. So then, what does that mean? As society moves over here, further and further away from God, that, well, we can only make the word mean this because otherwise nobody understands it. So what does that mean? The word changed? Because you can never get back over here then, where the word is. That's not true. The word is the word for all time. It will never change. It was perfect the first day it was written down because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why there's only a certain amount of it. There's other books, apocryphal books, that were said to be like Scripture but are not Scripture. That's another topic. But the Word is anointed. The Word is truth. We just got done with that series about deception and about what is true. And we have to be very careful we don't fall into like a relativism. Well, you know, it's not here, but everybody else is over here, so I'm over here, so this is good. The Word is true. The Word is right. And in this specific area where we've been talking in this series, so Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And we went over this. We spent at least a whole message on this. More than that, you can't do both. And like I said, you could say that about any number of things. You can't serve both God and X. I'm not going to get into any number of activities. Any activity you want, you could insert it there. Okay? But this context, what we are talking about is money. And money's a big one. It's a big one. And it's as big as it ever has been. I'd say bigger because you could trade stuff a lot more easily in earlier times. Now, I mean, money is just a means of exchange. But pretty much you don't see as much trading. You see that costs $30,000. That's the price. Well, I'll trade you, you know, two horses and a cow for it. No, it's $30,000. We don't want those. You can go sell those in the market for those and then get money for those and bring that money over and then give us the money. We'll take that. We don't take cow. MasterCard, Visa, not cow. But money's a big deal. Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, after he had that middle part. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? That's on the minds of unbelievers all the time. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, the Bible says. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Now, to act on that statement requires you to believe it. It requires faith. What is faith? It's believing. It's just believing God that if he said it, you believe. Well, what if it doesn't look like in today's earth, but these people are doing that and that. Okay, who do you believe more? Who do you believe? You believe, well, but so-and-so on such-and-such a TV show, they interviewed this other guy, and he said this. And that contradicts what the Bible says. Okay, who do you believe? That's the question is, who do you trust? That's called faith. What are you going to act on? Faith is not some substance just out in left field that, well, I just don't know what faith is. You know, faith means you're this faith or you're that faith. Faith is just what you believe and then act on. You can say you believe something all you want, but if you don't do it, if you don't act on it in your life, you don't really believe it. I don't really believe it. So when God is, we see something in the Word, for instance here, if God says, I can't serve both God and money, I can wrestle with that. I can go get people's opinions on that. But that verse is going to stand there in this case, red and white. It's, you know, your Bible's like mine, it's the words of Jesus. But, like on this sheet, black and white, it's going to stand there, and it will not move. You can argue with it, call it names, try to get it to go away, but it's everlasting truth. It doesn't matter who tries to come up with a different doctrine. It doesn't matter who tries to say this passed away or whatever. It's there. And it's the way things are in reality. And so our decision is whether to believe it or not. We all believe something. Well, I don't believe anything. Well, then you just said you have decided to doubt everything, and you believe that that's a good thing. So you're acting on that, so you do believe something. You believe that doubting is the best way. You believe that you should doubt everything. Okay, well, I don't believe anything. No, that's what you believe. I believe that holding to what God said is right. Then he gets down to seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Okay. So what does that mean? And we spent a lot of time on that. Let's look through some of these scriptures that we looked through before. Just in review, getting hooked up. Exodus 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Nothing else should be before me. Proverbs 23:4 says, "Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Do not overwork to be rich. We spend a time on that. Because of your own understanding, cease or stop. Stop it. Stop overworking. I can't help myself. Not true. We choose not to help ourselves. We choose to behave a certain way. Did I say we didn't? There weren't good reasons why we got to where we are. Maybe we saw our parents do a certain thing. Maybe we're emulating something else. Maybe we're doing it out of fear. But God knows why we got to where we are. And He knows how to help us get out of it. And to say, "I can't," is tying His hands. No matter what it is, any truth in the Word, if we see it, if it becomes clear to us, we have a choice. Am I going to act on this? And the reply of, "I just can't. I can't help myself," number one, is not true. We just got done with that series. That's a lie. Because if God told us to do something, His grace and His enabling power is there available to anyone that will believe and act on what He said. If we'll say, "I believe it, Lord, help me to do it," He will. Now, you may have to put down your flesh. Now, you may have to renew your mind, but you can. And I can. And as long as we stay in that position, we'll keep growing. The moment we bump up against something where we see what the Word says and we choose not to obey it, it's like we just kind of turned off the light there. God is still there to help us. He is not ever going to leave us, but we have chosen, where He said something is true, we've chosen to say, "It's not true. It's not true for me. It might be true for somebody else, but I can't do it." What's God going to do? At that point, His grace is still there to help us. What do we have to do? Repent? What does that mean? Change the direction and say, wait, I was wrong. When I said I can't, that was wrong. I can. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. If you said I can do it, Lord, help me. But I'll obey you. I'll help you. And when we see it, when light comes and we see it, we have a decision to make. Now, there are a whole lot of things that you and I are walking in right now that we don't see, that we could do better. but we don't see it. That's not a bad confession. That's true. And God has not dealt with you or I on certain things yet. Thank God He doesn't deal with us all at once and show us everything that we're doing wrong and expect us to change right now, because we'd all just fold. Right? But He will show you something. And it's happening right now. That His light comes and we see things in the Word and we understand. And at that point, we have a decision. Lord, do I trust You? Do I believe that if You said this, You're dealing with me now. It's not somebody else. You're dealing with me. I see this as something that I need to change, and I know You're dealing with me. Now, what do I do? Do I act on it, or do I say, nah, I can't? I'm not talking about anybody else. So when we get into trouble is we start looking at what somebody else is doing and say, well, maybe that's a good idea. I should do it too. Make sure God is telling you to do that. I remember Joyce Meyer saying one time, it's like she was living in a state where anything anybody else taught or said, it became a law to her. And so she was trying to, anytime she'd hear somebody say anything, well, I do this in the morning for my devotions and I do this on my job. She took it as, well, I should do that too. And she was taking what other people do and where they were at and trying to make it what she did. And it was just crushing her. That's a trap. The Bible says to have faith toward God, not in front of everybody else. I mean, you live righteously, but you are not, somebody else says, well, this is what I do. Well, good for them. Did God deal with you to do that same thing? Now, I'm saying. What's the step that He's asking you to do now? Or me to do now? That's what we are accountable and responsible for. It says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Because of your own understanding. Because your understanding of the Word, and you take God at His Word and you believe Him, you stop and say, this is not, if that God said to stop, I'm stopping. That's not going to help me. I'm backing away from it. And I can do it. And I understand what that feels like. To want to do something, your flesh itches. It does. It wants to do it. It make up all kinds of reasoning why you should be able to do it. And this is no different. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is vain. That's strong. That means useless. We'll see that in another translation. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Look at that in the New Living Translation. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless. Everybody say useless. That means it'd be just as good as if you've never done it. It's just means nothing. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives His loved or gives rest to His loved ones. And this is saying specifically, working for food to eat. And like we were talking about earlier, it was a different world where you had to work for your food to eat. That's what you were working for. But the equivalent now is, well, I have to pay the bills. I have to do this. Got to pay the bills. So you're saying, I mean, if these people didn't work, they're not going to eat. Very few people go without actual food in our country. You want food, there's food somewhere. And there's money to get food. We do not have poverty here like there are in other areas of the world. We do not. If you've traveled to another country and seen the way certain people live, you will say there's nobody that that has not made certain choices that is living in poverty. In other words, you'd have to choose certain things very strongly in order to live without food, because there are so many avenues here. But it says, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. Guys, I know we know this, but we're going to all die. And it's not that far away. And what we accomplish in our life, as much as we'd like to think in and of itself, is so important, unless it's doing what God would have us to do, there's going to be somebody pick up. If Jesus doesn't come back soon, but the thing, you know, the times are really looking right. But if He doesn't come back for another 200 years, every person in here is going to go out of the earth. In all the late nights, you stayed up doing something. What do they mean now? And if you did things that, yes, you could have been doing things that are lined up with what God wanted you to do, but right here, He tells us, don't overdo it. Don't stay up late. In other words, you were getting the job done, but you could have done the job with half the effort and been happier and healthier for it, and you would have still accomplished the eternal purpose that God had for you to do. The other part was useless. You could have spent it just relaxing. You could have spent it reading the Word. You could have spent it having an ice cream cone with your family or something. But you thought you were just doing it because you had to. You were driven by something. And 200 years from now, nobody's going to even know about that part of it. People see the results, and we'll see the eternal results of what we did. I mean, maybe we'll know everything in heaven, but you know the way it is on this earth. You don't go back and see all the things that were done that didn't need to be done. You just saw what ended up happening that actually produced the results. And who in their right mind, if you could get a job done in 2 hours, would spend 30 doing it? Why would you do that? Because you could do a bunch of other jobs in place of that, right? That's, as we grow in technologies, things that used to take days to do can be knocked out in a few hours. But what has man done? They don't use that to go at a reasonable pace. We just crank it up and say, great, now I can shove more through the pipe. Right? Yeah. We can do more. I can get ahead of the person until the next thing comes up and that guy leapfrogs you. And so it just keeps ramping up. People are not using wisdom as God would see His wisdom. They're not using His wisdom and saying, enough's enough. I have enough. I'm okay. This is fine. I'm going home. I read this story, really short account, but it was this executive, and he was working, and he was going. He was like, I think, in his mid-50s, and the way it was written, he was saying, you know, I would just go and work into the night, and then I would work on the weekend, and you know, I talked to my kids. We were talking about having a fishing trip or something, and I'd be like, no, I have to get this done, and I'd be working on the weekends. And the way it was written, you'd think it was written like 2 years ago. There's just so much going on, and I, you know, where the company is, I have to get on this now, or else the opportunity's going to get away, and such and such. And he said he realized he was there at Saturday afternoon at 3 or 4 o'clock, and he was working through it, and he was thinking, if I can just get this done, then I'm set. And it dawned on him that when he came in the next week, there was going to be more stuff to do. And it was always going to be like this. There is always going to be something that he could be sitting there doing at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And all the times he had said, no, I don't have time to do that because I have to do this, he realized that he was making a choice to do this, and every time he thought, I'll get ahead because then it won't have to be done, there was always something else. And so he picked up and he left. And he never did it again. And that was written in 1955. We think we're so busy now, it's changed. No, it hasn't. It's a choice. There's always something. You ever heard that saying, your inbox is going to be full the day you die? It's true. What about all the hours that we spent doing stuff? Because we thought, well, if I do this, then I'll be really set for Monday. You know what I found? There's always more stuff on Monday. There was a period of time I was really tempted when I was working at home. I just had to get to where I cut off certain things because there was always a temptation that there was something, but if I just pushed through and got this done, I'd be in a good place for Monday morning and I'd be ahead of the curve. I don't know how many times, but I just had to say no. I mean, there was times I did it. And then I realized what happened is I didn't have as much energy the next week. Stuff changed, so the stuff you thought would only take a few hours, actually you spent all day doing it, and you still weren't any better. And then you figured the thing out like in a half hour on Monday morning. Where did that time go? You can't get it back. It's gone. It was a mirage. You thought, if I only do this, I'll be there. But then you get into it and it's all foggy and then you realize, I just killed 8 hours and now I've wasted that time. I haven't rested and I'm no closer to the solution. Why am I doing that? I'm thinking, I am letting something else drive me other than God. Because God would say, pack it up and go home. You know that's one of the hardest things sometimes, for certain people, that is one of the hardest things is just to shut the computer down and go home. I know that. I know that feeling. Because if I just get this email done, if I just finish this up, I won't have to do it. Just say, nope, I'm walking out. I can't tell you how many times there's that temptation, and I haven't done it right every time. There's times you just, I'm going to do it, and then, you know, this is only going to take 5 minutes. 45 minutes later, Shelley, I'm leaving. I'm not saying it happens all the time. I said it's happened. Majority of the time, though, it's just a discipline. Your flesh is always itching for something. Some people, it's the opposite. It's like, don't want to do anything. And so just to do that hour of work is the opposite. Right? Just to get out of bed and do an hour of work. Somebody said, I don't have that problem. Well, you know, which way? There's different ways to look at it. Some people say, well, I don't have a problem. I can not eat anything. And some people say, well, I can't eat. I just want to eat everything. Another person says, well, I don't have that problem. Yeah, but you could gain a few pounds. I mean, everybody has something. And we shouldn't be pointing fingers at each other. We should be just saying, God, what is it that I'm dealing with? What do I need to change? And in this case, that overreaching, that trying, that churning, that this has to be done now. Ask yourself why. You know, I like this. When you're away, you can put a away message on your email. And so I do that. I like this one guy that was in design, one of our industrial designers. He said, I'm away on vacation for such and such. If you need to talk to somebody about design, talk to so-and-so. In case of an emergency, call 911. Because anything that you're emailing me about, we'd like to think, I mean, people put this in there, for anything urgent, What's urgent? Somebody going to die? Somebody going to suffer irreparable loss? No. And you can always tell. Well, I can't afford to be away. I mean, stuff is going to stop. Stuff is going to stop if I can't. If I don't get this going, I got to keep the ball. I got to keep the plate spinning and things moving. But then somebody's out because they got to take their kid somewhere and something came up. Well, can't get a hold of them. And the world keeps moving. Nothing happened. Nobody died. Well, if I don't get this done. Yeah, but then you couldn't. And you came in and just did it the next day. What is so important that we put aside certain things that are godly? What are we putting first in those cases? Because God, a lot of times, He would just say, "That's enough, son. That's enough, daughter. You're good. It'll be there tomorrow. Go relax. It'll do you some good." Glory to God. God wants us to enjoy this life. This is not rehearsal. We get one shot on this thing. One. And that last verse, it said, because of your own understanding, stop. Your understanding from what? You know what's coming. You know the way of all men. What are you going to look at that day when you're looking back on your life, or you're in heaven, you're looking back, they're looking back on your life? They're not going to talk about the extra time you spent doing something. They will not talk about it. Maybe talk about some results, but they're not going to see that. God's way is truth. And He never pushes us. Amen.